Staff recommendation for disability council position. Karen, is that?
Yes, this is a recommendation and request from Marilyn, CEO, for the establishment of a new position within CSERA, an in-house disability attorney. Currently, that role is being filled by Rebecca Burns, who is an independent contractor that works for county council. And she has advised that she is planning on terminating her work. We're not completely clear on the timing, but at some point in time, it was the end of this year, and now it may be a little longer than that. But we think at this point that we should start establishing that position and working with HR. We did check with County Council's office to see if they would be able to fill that vacancy, and they responded in the negative. They're not able to continue to do that for us.
Okay.
Carrie? Do we have any estimate of what we've been paying County Council versus what this position will cost? Obviously, we'll be. Well, I'm assuming the contract CSERA has with County Council is fully loaded. So are we talking comparable or probably a little bit higher, I'm assuming?
Currently, Rebecca works part-time and we pay hourly.
Okay.
I don't have that number.
It's 100.
It's 100 hours.
That's what it says here.
Right, and I don't have the rate that we pay, but we do know the number of hours. And the thought is that while this the person in the new position trains with Rebecca, and even after her departure, it would be a full-time position. I don't have any numbers, but
it's
I'm assuming
okay.
It'll be
before. It's just I don't have a problem approving this, but I would like to know what we're looking at financially as we move forward in the process.
Okay.
Jerry?
Richard, then. Assuming that it's not a full-time position to cover the work that Rebecca has been covering, with the other hours, will she be assisting you then in your duties?
So the new position will be full-time, and it'll be likely all disabilities related.
Really?
Yes.
And
the explanation
so you
is
think
that
it'll cover that? She'll be needed full-time?
Yes. The explanation is that this new person will have to train for a while, and that the volume of work for the Disability Council has increased due to the nature of the Tier 3 disability standard and the long queue of cases that are open that need to be handled. So we do anticipate that this person will be working full-time on disability matters.
All right, and I'll make them. There's more questions. I'll wait till after.
Or you can go ahead and make a motion. You can comment.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we follow the Chief Executive Officer's recommendation to establish a new in-house staff council position with an emphasis on the disabilities.
Second.
With the salary range mentioned in the recommendation.
With the salary range mentioned.
Well, it says, I'm sorry, I haven't finished. It says,
exactly.
I got cut off that it's
10%
less. But
right.
So I'm assuming this is full-time, but so I'm looking for the budget adjustment, so to speak, from
right.
paying for 100 hours a month to
that's
a full-time.
That's what I'm looking for, too.
What?
It's going to be more expensive. Obviously, County Council, Rebecca is retired, so they're not paying retirement or Social Security or that sort of thing since she's an independent contractor.
Yeah,
as far as what they're turning around and billing us, I don't know. But it will be more expensive per hour, obviously. Is there a second to Richard? Okay. Richard?
Yeah, I very clearly oppose this motion. We don't need another full-time staff replacing a part-time staff. I take exception to this argument about Tier 3s are more complex. Tier 3 disability process is the Tier 2 disability process, which has been in existence since 1984. So I don't know why any complexity has changed. The majority of folks now clearly and have been Tier 3s for quite some time, and no different than, you know, the Tier 2s. So You know, we have a whole bunch of people in this office who are bosses kind of things. And it's 100 hours, and I think it's going to be terribly more expensive because Rebecca, who we're talking about replacing, was a county council, retired. She's on a contract. I don't think it's fully loaded at all, the type of thing, because she is a contract. And, hey, she's been collecting a pension, called double dipping in some corners. But I don't know why we wouldn't follow the same thing if we have a need. Why don't we seek to contract out someone with the experience? I'm sure you know that it isn't like it's a steady flow of stuff. You know, it depends on who appeals and what the medical evidence is developed. And that's developed in-house by current staff. Like Mrs. Kroll, who, you know, gets the stuff from workers' comp. It is reviewed by certainly counsel, but, you know, I don't see a full-time job here. I just, you know, we've had a lot of issues with the disability process. For years we had a process where it was really slow and long, and we've made great strides in taking care of that. You know, they don't move as quick as I'd like them to move the decisions, but they move pretty quickly. And, you know, it's all been done with a part-time thing. I just, you know, yeah, just to add another body, it's a lot of money. And it's a segment of our thing, and it's important, and we need somebody who knows the rules. But I don't know why we can't find a similar person, a county council in one of the 37X who's retired and wants a little part, you know, 100 hours a month.
Well, along that line, Richard, and maybe either we amend it or have a substitute.
Actually,
it would be nice to have a little bit more analysis come back, because I wasn't aware of this. So perhaps what Marilyn should do is come back with how many, what the projection is for how many disability retirements, how many there have been, how many hours have been spent, a little bit more analysis so that we have that in order to make a recommendation whether we establish a part-time position, go to a contract position, if she can justify a full-time, you know, I would like, that's sort of where I was going earlier. There's not enough information here.
Deborah?
So she stole my thunder, but show me the money. I am concerned about the things that Richard said, but in the end, I would not vote to approve this motion without seeing an analysis of what are we paying now, what are we looking at incurring, and comparing and weighing whether the additional cost is truly justified.
Scott?
Ditto on many of the comments I just heard. My question for Karen is, what are the options for manning this position, if you will? Rebecca has been doing it on a contract basis. She obviously has a lot of skill and expertise from years of doing it. Are there outsourcing options in addition to looking at full-time employment where there are firms who specialize in this who, all they do is disability workups? I mean, I know that's true in workers' comp and other areas, and I'm not suggesting we hire a mill. I'm just wondering if there's a specialized practice where we could outsource this on a time and materials basis, essentially budget as we go and not incur the full-time employment cost, where we might have a lot of headroom in the work available versus paying somebody full-time. So what are the options, or do you know?
The options that I'm aware of are either an in-house position or contracting with county council. That's what the other systems do, one or the other, or a combination of both. I'm not aware of contracting with private attorneys to do this kind of work. I'm not sure if the cost. Oh, Kurt, did you want to say
I'm
something?
Aware of a company that Mark is supposed to be talking about outsourcing the disability process.
For 37 Act disabilities? Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, it seems like there, these days in this business, there's a specialty for everything. I know that school districts in the education biz, there are firms just structured around the various facets of representing school districts, and a lot of districts, including many locally, outsource that function. Some have it in-house, at least for one district, it turned out to be a detriment. But There is a market, there are services that are provided, so I share the view here that we need to know a lot more about what the options are and then what the cost out of each of those options are. I don't want to kill it, but I mean you want to know what the impact is, and I didn't see in the information sort of the budgetary impact, which I think Supervisor Mitchoff was getting at, which was what's the pre and post look, and how does it cost out? So I share all the concerns I've heard.
Jerry?
In light of what I'm hearing, Richard bringing up some important points, and Karen also, I can withdraw this motion in hopes of gathering more information. And one of the reason I asked you about if this person would be doing other duties, I thought this person, when I read this, I thought that when she's not doing disability, she could, or he could be helping you with your duties, because I get a sense that you're sometimes overwhelmed and this would be somebody that could relieve you some. And I didn't get that. I got that this person is strictly from disability. So in a way that kind of set me back a little bit about just going ahead with it. So I'm if it's okay with the second, I'll withdraw the motion and
sure.
and we'll look at getting some numbers and doing some more analysis on it rather than just going with it.
With the hope that my comments aren't too repetitive, I think it makes good sense to have that individual in our employ here on a full-time basis. That would be my reaction immediately for an operation of this size and the amount of complexity that we deal with. Having said that, I think it makes good sense as well to look at more numbers. One is outsourcing, maybe at 100 hours. Typically, by the way, the outsource hourly cost, based on my direct experience, is somewhere between 2.5 and 3 times their actual cost to the organization. So 100 hours relates to something like effectively 250 to 300 hours of in-house cost. Okay, we're talking 167, give or take, on a monthly basis, hiring them directly. And I think that's very worthwhile looking at. Plus, we control it, as contrasted to we don't control it. And we also have the backup for Karen, that notwithstanding the expected role being 100%, there will be occasions when it's not. And we have a backup of the Karen and the Marilyn. So I think it makes good sense, but certainly looking at additional numbers.
I agree with John. That's the same way I feel.
Okay.
Great.
I thought you could work 980 hours as a contract employee.
Now.
Right.
New, this year.
Okay, because, I mean, if this is 100...
Yeah, but previously in the past, contracts were not, they weren't considered part of that 960 okay. or 980 yeah, rule.
It's a different kind, it's for a contract for service. I just think we need more analysis. This hasn't been vetted enough to give us enough of the information to make the appropriate recommendation. So if Jerry's withdrawing, I'll make a different motion that we return this to staff for a further report with the analysis as outlined, that we want an option for in-house contracting and what the costs are. And I know that there may be concern we don't know what the costs are, but I think given Kurt's information, if there are firms out there, we can at least make an inquiry what their hourly rate is. Because John's right, sometimes outside counsel does charge more, but what are we looking at? And that would be my substitute motion.
Does that require a substitute motion or just simply direction to staff?
I think
staff?
We could just give direction to staff to follow up on the suggestions. Okay.
Sorry, unless you wanted to get your
table.
Okay.
The board, we have to take action on everything.
Is that right?
Item 10, update from staff on the...